This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $30 off your contact lenses by visiting simplecontacts.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew. HelloFresh.com. Receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code Andrew30. Remember, go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code Andrew30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Thank you to HelloFresh. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your first order by going to rxbar.com/Andrew and using the promo code Andrew. That's rxbar.com/Andrew, promo code Andrew. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by a returning Paul Thurrott.
You can tell
everybody. We got into a fight, right? And you took all your stuff and you moved out.
Yeah.
And I promised that I'll, you know, I won't ever do it again. And now we're back together.
Wow. That's so much more dramatic than...
By the way, rumors,
the same problems we always have with the schedule.
And... rumors were swirling around the internet about how you quit the show. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Yep. The Rock got rid of that idiot.
Yep. And vice versa.
Andrew got rid of Paul finally. And then poor John Prosser got crapped on regardless of what side you were on, the Team Andrew or Team Paul fight, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, imagine your surprise when you find out that John and I are starting our own podcast.
You know what? I have to tell you, I really like that kid. I mean, kid is 25, but I really him, and he loves you.
Really?
He loves you. Oh my God, he loves you. It was a lot of fun because, you know, I got a little bit of a different perspective, a younger perspective. You know, I'm not the young man that I was when we started the show, Paul.
Neither am I.
Neither are you. Life is very different now. It was great. We had a great couple of weeks. But you're here. I want to get your perspective of CES because you are.
It's so hard to even. I mean, when was that? Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or 3 weeks ago. But we really haven't spoken much about, you know, your experience. And so much has been happening in technology, obviously, over the last couple of weeks. And things are kind of falling into place for the year. And we're kind of seeing where the trends are headed and what Apple's going to be doing. Very unorthodox tactics by Apple for 2018.
Yeah.
Very different.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot is going on, obviously, on all sides. But before we start, I want to ask you, how are you? How's Paul doing? How's your move going?
My move?
Are you settled?
I feel like I've moved, right? So... we've moved into the next phase of our life here, which actually I say we're going to move. I haven't done any of this yet, but you know, we moved so quickly last year that we moved all this crap down into the basement in boxes that we're probably going to throw most of away. And as I said to my wife last weekend, actually it was before last weekend, is, you know, we're going to have to dedicate like the next year to fixing that, like just going through that. We still have stuff to do in the house, you know, some painting left to do, some, we're going to put doors in my office and so forth. But I mean, the big stuff is done. You know, we're here for now.
Do you feel normal? Yeah. Like,
I feel like. So, I mean, like for example, last weekend I went to Boston to visit my friends there and, you know, I went to some of my favorite restaurants and saw some people I haven't seen in a while.
You mean last Thursday when we were supposed to do a show, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I always forget about these things. Like we had scheduled this trip because it was a time everyone could get together, you know, a couple of months ago. And the way it worked out with football and everything was that the Patriots were playing on Sunday and I decided to stay an extra day and because it would have just been complicated or difficult driving home at night or whatever.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. You have no idea what the hell of being a Patriots fan is.
You guys cheat all the time. It's fine. We got it.
Yeah, that's what everyone tells me all the time. Yeah, all those times, like all year this year and last year, and the year before.
By the way, I am rooting. I am rooting for the Patriots.
So here's the problem. I love football. I love sports. I enjoy what I would call like a no stress version of sports, which means I don't have any stake in anything. I would just watch baseball games or football games to enjoy them. Basketball games, although less and less these days. It's tough with the Patriots because they've been in it for now, 16, 17 years. Everyone hates them. Everyone. You were joking about the cheating thing, but I mean, people who are friends of mine are relentless. Like, I've actually had to mute a couple of people on Facebook. Like, they're just terrible.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if you saw my post about how toxic social media is and how everybody. Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. I wrote something about that myself. Oh, that's interesting funny. You say that. Yeah. I didn't mean to get off on a sidetrack with this stuff, but I mean, it's interesting to me that, like, you go to a place like Twitter and it's just a toxic hellhole. But I don't really know everyone on Twitter. I obviously know a lot of the people I deal with on Twitter, but you know, Facebook, I reserve Facebook for the people that I know, my family, obviously, my friends. And my God, is it the crappiest interactions I've ever had in my life with human beings occur on Facebook. It's
Tell
awful.
Me about it.
Well, it's awful because I know the people, you know what I mean? It's awful. And the sheer terribleness of people over like the Patriots has been very alarming to me. So I guess what I'm trying to say is they're going to win or lose this game. There's no other outcome. If they win again, now they've won another Super Bowl. People are going to hate them even more. They can't stand it. It's going to be awful. And if they lose, then I'm going to have all these people who should be my friends.
Yeah. Haha.
Yeah. Shitting all over me because my team lost in the Super Bowl. And basically what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter what happens. It's going to suck.
It's going to suck.
So no, it's going to suck. It is kind of deflated. See what I did? The whole love of the game thing for me. It's really made it kind of terrible. And I wish they were not in the Super Bowl. I would like to enjoy the Super Bowl and I can't. And that sucks.
I like the fact that the Giants are the only ones that beat you. So I'm rooting for the Patriots.
Well, as a I won't say that. Never mind.
Listen, we have a lot to talk about. I actually want to touch on, if we have some time at the end, about how toxic some culture has become.
Absolutely.
Online. But we have so much to talk about. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Simple Contacts. Listen, I wear contact lenses, and I always find myself dreading my annual appointment to renew my prescription. Why? Because you have to go. You got to wait. It's a whole thing. It goes based on their schedule and not yours because you're doing 5,000 things. This is why I'm so excited about Simple Contacts. It's a great app that makes the time that it takes to get a new prescription easy and fast. It's super, super fast to do it. Actually, I think it took me 5 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that, to actually do this whole thing online. So Simple Contacts lets you renew the prescription and reorder the brands of lenses from anywhere in minutes. Simple Contacts also brings the doctor's office to you. The vision test is designed by doctors. So you do the vision test through your camera. And by the way, you can't cheat this thing. You can't kind of, you know, be like, I'm going to pay attention. I'm not really going to follow their instructions because this is legitimate. They really follow through and they make you, you know, do this because this is, your contact lens exam. You know, they're checking your prescription. Simple Contacts offers amazing selection of every brand of lenses and their prices are extremely hard to beat. The eye exam is just $20 and they offer free shipping. Also, just a reminder, this does not replace your annual your visit for a full eye health exam. I have to tell you guys that because if this is just to get the contact lenses, this is not to get your full examination of your eyes. This is a very important thing. As someone that is from a family that, you know, my father's side, they have an eye disease and I have terrible vision, but this is a great in between for you to go and do it online super, super, super fast. Here's a great offer. You save $30 your first Simple Contact order. Your first Simple Contacts order by going to simplecontacts.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew at checkout. Again, that's simplecontacts.com/Andrew. Enter the promo code Andrew at checkout. Give them a try. And by the way, you'll thank me later. My brother just did this, and my brother's the worst with this. He's been wanting to go and get his contact lenses for months now. And he's been wearing these terrible broken glasses. You have to see this kid. And he just can't get himself to go to the doctor. It just takes too much time to go get his eye exam, get his contact lens exam. So I'm like, listen, do it on Simple Contacts. I set it up for him. I said, this is how you do it. And I watched him do it because I was able to do this easy breezy and I want to see other people do it. Easy breezy, man. Did it. Did the exam. Showed up at the door and he was shocked. He was shocked how good this was. SimpleContacts.com/Andrew. So, Paul, I want to go back a little bit. Your personal experience at CES. Number one, did you see the stripper robots?
No.
Did you hear about them? Big buzz all over the internet. This was the biggest story, apparently. Were exotic dancing robots.
Okay. No.
Okay. I'm surprised. No. Apparently, that was the biggest story because that's all I saw the day that it happened. And I was thinking to myself, has CES become just a mess of information where nothing penetrates except for whatever is a sensational headline? Did you learn anything at CES? Did you, well, your overall experience? I know that Brad was there and you guys, you know, were hanging out. But.
Yeah. You know, there are different CESs for different people, you know. You could go there and just go look at the car stuff. You could go there and just look at the smart home stuff, the TVs, the whatever, you know. So CES for me is a chance to see people I haven't seen in a while, mostly in the PC industry, but also in the phone industry. Kind of catch up with those guys. And there's kind of a subset of the show you can do, which I find to be very valuable, where they have these kind of side shows like Showstoppers and Pepcom and a couple of others, where vendors come together into a smaller space and you get to talk to them one-on-one. And I find that to be very valuable. Brad and I met with Dell and Lenovo and HP, Microsoft. And a lot of that stuff occurred not on the show floor,
behind the scenes. Yeah.
Behind the scenes. And, I think that to me is what makes CES worth going to, because honestly, the noise and the crowds and the awfulness of the convention center is just not interesting to me. To me, the theme of the show was personal digital assistants. What I think of as ambient computing. This is that thing we've talked about a lot, where the way I would describe it is, you know, Google Assistant kind of won CES, but I think it's maybe more fair to say that Google Assistant has established itself as the other major digital assistant next to Amazon's. Amazon had kind of a big lead, depending how you look at these things, going into the show. But, you know, Google kind of came all out. And the way to, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, I don't remember numbers, but a year ago at CES 2017, Google announced Google Assistant integration with exactly two hardware devices, both of which were Android TVs that nobody cares about. This year, it was several hundred devices all signing up for Google Assistant. So it was a complete sea change. And it's huge. And it's not just speakers, right? Although speakers are the kind of gateway drug. And both Amazon and Google over the holidays were selling $29 low-end versions of their smart speakers to help kind of jumpstart the market from a, you know, like a unit sales perspective. But it's not just that. In fact, for me personally, the thing I saw at CES that I want the most was a Lenovo Google Assistant device that has a screen on it, like a 16:9 screen. And there were two sizes, again, off the top of my head, I think 7 or 8 inches and then 10 inches. And they sit on a counter or whatever in your kitchen or wherever you want your house. They can be vertical or horizontal. And it adds that visual element to what you're doing. So if you're playing music, whatever, obviously album art, artist art, whatever, that's not a big deal. But there's a lot of interaction stuff that goes on with, like, here's your day, here's what the weather is, here's the next thing on your schedule. And then you're maybe in the kitchen working on a recipe and it will literally go one step at a time. And if you ask it a question, which you can do with your voice, like, how do I do this thing you're telling me to do? Like, it will say something like, you know, crush some sage into a bowl and do this with it. It will bring up a YouTube video and show you how to do the thing they're explaining. I think this is the next big step in this stuff. And, you know, you and I often, we've talked about this for many years on the show, this notion that we can be out in the world on a plane, in a coffee shop, anywhere, in work, doesn't matter. And when we speak, an assistant from some sensor somewhere, it doesn't matter, could be anywhere, will recognize our voice, know it's us, give us the information we need, and it will work that way. And it's and this is how we get there. You know, so speakers are first, but then there's all these other devices. It's getting into cars, it's getting into headphones, it's getting into these screen devices.
In the car,
next year it will be in light switches and stuff, you know,
in the car. I feel that is a very important thing to have, because remember, you know, it's not just the assistant, your text. I mean, we have it now on the simplest of levels, right? You could, it reads you your text messages. It tells you who's calling, but if you need to,
it's it's a smarter thing than that, right? It's interaction. In other words, Google, and it's also about ecosystem, right? And infrastructure. You know, Google is a much better bet, frankly, than Amazon, because they have so much more information that's useful to you than Amazon ever will. So Amazon's cute if you want to buy like a Tide Pod or some stupid thing like that. But I think Google really owns it when it comes to the real world. I really need this kind of functionality stuff. So, for example, if you commute every single day.
Which is me.
Google. Yeah. Well, we don't. Yeah, but well, actually, it is.
No,
you,
now it is me. Yeah, I commute every
right,
day.
Right. So it's not me, but I don't. But, you know, a lot of people do. Google knows this. Google has an understanding of your home location and your work location. It knows that you go to work a certain way or whatever it is. It can proactively come up and say, hey, there's been a train derailment or whatever, an accident. You might want to leave a little early and maybe you want to go this way instead. Or it doesn't even have to be that proactive, although I think that stuff is awesome.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you. So what you were saying, I just had this discussion this morning with Jess because, you know, since I've been using an iPhone for about 8 months now regularly. This is now my phone. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, my Samsung S7 is, it's beat up now and I just, it's unusable and I'm waiting for the S9, right? That's what I want to get.
Yep.
So one thing that I absolutely loved about Android is the fact that it's so smart and it knows everything I'm doing in a weird, creepy way, right? It's scary, but it helps because it's those things like, hey, the LIRR is having issues. The next train available is in 2 hours, so don't worry about leaving the house. Yeah. Or the E-train isn't running, you know, it knows.
Right.
This does not really do that, right? It doesn't really do that in the iPhone as well as
iPhone doesn't do any of it. That's never going to be as good. But the other thing is, you know, when you kind of spread these assistants out to multiple endpoints and device types, when you arrive at something that resembles this true ambient computing thing that you and I talk about all the time, you get these interesting capabilities. Like it makes sense if you're planning a trip that's not a normal commute. You know, maybe I'm going to drive to Washington, D.C. What's the best way to do that? Well, what day are you going to leave of the week and at what time or what time do you want to get there? And that's something that's much easier to do today on your computer with a big screen, and you can kind of plot it out and you can sit there and touch the screen and move the route around. And, you know, maybe there are things you want to see on the way or whatever it is. And then it can hand it off to your phone, right? It knows that you're planning this trip. And so when you get in your car, it just pops up on your phone. You don't have to retype in the, here's where I'm going, but remember I made that route change and I want it cause I want to see this site that's on the way. Like this stuff is all set up. It's attached to your account. It's good to go. I think that's where this stuff comes together.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, it's kind of a scripting like an IFTTT type of capability where, I think Google calls them routines, where you can combine commands into a single thing, right? And so today you say these very ponderous sentences to get it to do certain things. But in the very near future, in fact, I expected it to be released by now, but anytime now with a Google Assistant device of any kind, you'll be able to say something like, hey, G, good night. And that will trigger some number of things. The shades go down, the lights go off, the locks are set, the security alarm's on. Cameras are on outside, whatever you might have. Your alarm is set so that, you know, and everyone's alarm is set in the house. I mean, there might be multiple alarms. People have different schedules. It's impossible to think about that stuff and not see the usefulness of it, right?
Yeah.
A year or two ago when these speakers first started coming out, you're like, hey, you know, Echo thing, tell me a joke or what's the weather? You know, that's all. It's like, you know, like whatever.
I don't know if you remember this, but the greatest example was of how, you know, when Siri came out, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a video and I was just playing around and I was recording, like I was asking dumb things like and I was like, you know what? Let me just ask it lewd stuff like where can I buy drugs? And it would tell me would tell you like, oh, the pharmacy here. And I said, where can I find a prostitute? You know, and it goes the nearest escort Yikes. Service is this and this in the Bronx. And CNN picked it up and they put it, they kept playing this over and over again.
That's amazing.
But it just shows you that's what it was, right? It was a joke. It was it wasn't an assistant. It just gave you random information.
It's
who's
an
Paul Theroux, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people's interactions with these things are mistakes. They hit the button by mistake or they say something that triggers it.
But you're absolutely right. This is growth. This is you know, going into the future where these things are going to become part of our everyday life. It may not be that right now. You know, I have Google Home. I only really use it to play Spotify.
Okay. But I mean, yes, I mean, and that's fine, you know, and I've had, and look, there's a learning curve to it too. So in my household, for example, everyone but me is used, well, I'm on Spotify too, but I actually use Google Play Music. And so, you know, if my wife or my kid wants to play music over a Google Home device or have it pump out to different speakers we have around the house, they know now, they didn't originally, but they have to say, you know, whatever the key phrase is, play this via Spotify on this speaker or whatever, right? This is a big sentence. You know, eventually, as we get these routines down, not only does it recognize their voices, because I may have a playlist called something, my daughter might have a playlist called the same thing.
Yeah.
If she says it, it will be her version of it, right? You want it to come from her music collection. You want it to come from the service she uses, not the ones that I use and that kind of thing. So it's getting more sophisticated. I mean, it's the, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I understand.
You think Google's going to be the ultimate winner in this, right?
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. No doubt about it. And by the way, I'll put it kind of this way. Everyone talks about this kind of head start that Google or that, that Amazon has in the home. But they've only sold like 10 to 12 million devices. I mean, you know, there are like 2 billion Android devices sold every year. Now, not every single one of those comes with Google Assistant or whatever, and only some percentage of those people actually uses it. But it's a big, much bigger number than 10 or 12 million, I can tell you that. I mean, I think Google is technically already winning. I mean, the way that you say that Amazon is winning today is by saying, well, they've been in the market for longer. They have I don't think they do anymore, but maybe you could make the argument they have more interactions with smart home devices. And that's why, because you put this thing in your house and you use it to control the lights or the alarms or the lock, whatever. Google is, they're there. That stuff is all, it's all taken care of. And I think the problem with Siri, the problem with the Echo stuff is, it's a one-off experience. Google is the only company that has an assistant that can be everywhere.
That's built in also.
It's just everywhere. Just, you know, you can have it in your car. You can have it in your phone. You can have it at home. And it's an integral part of the platform that is the highest used platform on earth, which is Android. So you know, to me, it's just a no-brainer.
I actually, this kind of ties in to what I'm going to talk about right now and to one of our sponsors. But I use Google Assist for cooking a lot of times. I'll ask it for measurement conversion all the time. I mean, and this is on the simplest of levels, you know, or recipes.
The recipe stuff is fun. Right?
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah. No. But, it's absolutely fun.
By voice, you can say something like next step. Give me that. And it says that. But I mean, again, once you add the possibility to have a screen involved, which, you know, a lot of people, I think, are like, why would I want a screen in the kitchen, you know, or whatever. But, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some cool stuff you can do there, and it can show you.
Yeah.
The next step.
No, right? I have to tell you, I use a screen all the time when I'm cooking. So this is such a, it's great when it ties in like this, because I want to take a moment to talk about HelloFresh. We talk about this all the time. You love to cook too. I mean, you were doing sushi and you were doing, you know, I'm big on that. I'm big on the experience of cooking. And I always like the visual of seeing what it should look like. So my wife and I have been doing HelloFresh for weeks now, you know, because they're an advertiser of ours, and I'll talk about this a little bit, but I want to talk about my experience. But I always have a computer and I pull up the HelloFresh site when I'm doing a recipe, because I want to see what I'm doing step by step. Even if it's simple, I want to see the step by step instructions of what we're, you know, what it's going to look like, what the next step is. And I ask Google all the time for recipes, so it's actually interesting how everything ties in. I mean, technology is tying into the way that we cook. And this is a great thing. If you love to cook, like me, and you like to cook healthy, I'm not saying frying up, you know, wings and putting that on the side. I'm saying, like, take your time and cook and enjoy yourself and make it fast and easy and inexpensive. HelloFresh is the service for you. This is a great offer. Get $30 off your first week of delivery when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code Andrew30 when you check out. It's actually great. So last night we did mac and cheese. And it was a spin on mac and cheese with, it, obviously, the cheese on the Mac, but It had vegetables in it. It was awesome. And this is how it works. They have three different plans. You can choose a classic plan, the veggie plan for vegetarians, and the family plan for larger families. The classic plan includes meat, fish, seasonal products. The veggie plan offers vegetarian recipes with plant-based protein, grains, and seasonal produce. And the family plan is for the whole family, which they're going to love. Right now, I'm on the family plan because I had already done the classic. I just want to switch it up a little bit. And it's pretty cool. You get a balanced dinner for less than $10 a meal when you sign up for this. There's no more time consuming meal plans or grocery shopping. This is delivered to your door, and it's super fresh, and everything is great. I have yet to have a bad meal from HelloFresh. And you know what? Pour myself a glass of wine with Jess, and we spend time, we talk, and we cook. And this is a great time. I mean, everybody's busy. Paul, you're running around like a lunatic all the time. My life has been upside down, like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song now. My life has been flipped upside down, and sometimes you want that time to talk and catch up. This is the best time when you're cooking. See, my alarm agrees with me. This is awesome. So they do step-by-step planning. They give you instruction cards. You could also go to their website, like I was telling you. This is so much fun. Not only are you getting an amazing meal, but it's an experience. And I highly, highly recommend it. My good friend Bob and his wife Kathy, which I think you've met Bob. He's an IT. I think you met him at one of the events. He called me up the other day. He's like, listen, I did the HelloFresh thing. I go, did you use my code? He goes, yeah, of course I did. And every night now they've been cooking. They play a game called Drunk Kitchen. That's what he told me, which is actually really funny. I thought that was hysterical. I'm like, listen, that's what I play all the time when I'm cooking. Go to HelloFresh.com. Use the code Andrew30. Get $30 off your first week of delivery. I'm telling you guys, try it out for 1 week. I guarantee you're going to love it. HelloFresh.com. Use the code Andrew30 at checkout. Paul, me and you should play Drunk Kitchen one day. Make it into a show. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a fun show. So sure. We were talking about the Android experience and Google experience. So I was on Therat.com, of course, and there was an article that you guys posted. Samsung is teasing the S9. And it seems like the camera is going to be the primary focus here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the camera has been the primary focus every flagship smartphone since, I don't know, iPhone 5, maybe. I mean, it's...
Yeah. See, this is where it gets a little dangerous, right? Because if you're putting so much... obviously, there's improvements with every camera, every phone that puts out a new camera. But to, say, reimagined and hype it, this has to be a home run.
You have to kind of wonder where they're going. I mean... you know, we're at a place now where the only good thing about a Google Pixel 2 XL is the camera. Literally, the rest of it is terrible. But when you look back over whatever the big devices were from last year, like the iPhone 10 and the 8 Plus or the Samsung Galaxy S8, S8 Plus and Note 8, it's the camera. It's always the camera. You know, the Huawei phone that we're not going to get, the Mate 10, I think it's called. It's got dual camera system. Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. And so... I don't know. To me, I've been about the camera since, I don't know, 2013 when the Lumia 1020 came out with that, you know, 20 megapixel, wonderful, but slow camera. I mean, this is almost all I care about. And in fact, I can prove it because I use this stupid Google phone and it's terrible. And it's pretty much at this point only because the camera is awesome and the rest of it makes me want to just snap it in half.
You know, we talk about this all the time, and for some people, it's not that much of a importance. You know, they don't like, I take hundreds of pictures, hundreds. I mean, every month because I really enjoy photography. I appreciate photography. I'm not a great photographer, but I also don't want to, you know, I want to take pictures, but you don't have to be.
Paul,
did
nice
you see that picture I posted on Twitter of St. Patrick's?
I don't remember. Of St. Patrick?
St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh, no.
If you take a look at that. That is with no manipulation, nothing, just HDR on my phone. It was breathtaking.
Well, I think that's the
yesterday.
Point of this stuff, isn't it? I mean...
I don't know if you can see it there or not. It's on my Twitter. I made a post about how much I love New York. It was a drunken, I love this city kind of thing. So you guys can go to my Twitter. It's XFL. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, you're talking about the exterior shot.
Yeah. I mean, it's a breathtaking photo.
Yep.
Just, I mean, the fact that I did this.
I mean, that's the
boom. Done. So we've gotten to the point that it's point and click, right? And you're getting really good pictures. Then what's the next step now? You know, where do we go?
Well, I mean, the next step is, you know, for example, you can see what the next steps are in some ways because Apple's doing it. Everyone's doing, you know, everyone's working on these kind of bokeh effect things. They're working on, they use two lenses because that's a much easier way to get a depth effect going. Apple's doing the portrait mode stuff, and now the I think it's called portrait mode lighting. You know, and they're computational, so they have issues, a lot of edge issues on those kinds of things. But we have such an incredible capability today with these cameras on phones. You know, the panorama capability, for example, on an iPhone is incredible. It's you literally just as quick as you can go, mm-hmm. and it makes a beautiful panorama. The one on Android is not as good. I mean, that's something they need to work on. But, you know, I the camera in this Google Pixel thing is amazing. And it's like that shot, you know, you don't have to go to Europe on a special vacation. You just go to work one day or whatever. Yeah. And you just, oh, look at that. And it's this beautiful, beautiful photo. I mean, to me, the ability to capture great photos like that so effortlessly kind of feeds on itself. It makes you take more pictures, you know, than you might have otherwise.
Yeah, no, listen, it's fascinating. And Samsung, you know, they've been putting out good products. I have to tell you, the S7 was a dud, in my opinion. The S6 was a good one. The S7 was
had a good camera, though, by the way.
A very good camera. I don't have an S8. I know that the S8 was better, but I had numerous issues with this thing. So I'm waiting for the S9, obviously. Yep. I don't know how I feel about their new UI. If you've taken a look.
UI of Android, you mean?
No, of Samsung. What they're doing with their experience, with their overall UI of their Android.
Yeah, experiment. Like their Android. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. And right now, I'm in this weird situation where do I want to have the Samsung experience or do I want to have the Google experience?
Yeah, I definitely want to have the Google experience personally. But Samsung's gotten better. There are certain advantages to Samsung that may, well, I mean, obviously they put it over the top for a lot of people. It's the number one selling, you know, smartphone brand. You have the choice. I mean, that's the nice thing. The iPhone 10 camera is fantastic and top notch. It's right up there. I think the Samsung stuff is right up there too. The Note 8, which I don't have, but I mean, by all accounts, it's right there.
But you did get one, right? You got one to review.
No, I never got it. No, those jerks never came through. So
Maybe you were getting it. I don't know.
Yeah, I was supposed to get it. Yeah.
It's interesting because on Android side, like one of the features that I think would be so useful in Oreo is the fact that it rates your network. So you can take a look in 8.1 and see, you know, how fast the network is. It gives you a network rating, which is actually that's a really useful feature, right? And it's something that you wouldn't necessarily think of as, oh, this should be definitely in here. It's those little things that really make the difference at the end.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. Paul, I want to talk to you about the iPhone 10. And people really lost their minds early in the week when they announced that they're going to be discontinuing the 2017 iPhone 10 in 2018. Because you know what happens to that, right? Then it becomes, you see how much it was terrible? They killed it. There's no more iPhone 10.
I think we're misunderstanding what's happening.
I think a lot of people are misunderstanding.
The other half of that sentence is, but Apple is also going to release 3 new phones, all of which look exactly like the iPhone 10. Yeah. It's not like they're stepping back from the notch or whatever.
No.
I don't quite understand what it means discontinuing because, you know, to date, as you know, Apple has been selling 1 and 2 year old phones as lower cost options. Right. And so if we're going to take this rumor at this point at face value, what it really means is that Apple will not be selling the iPhone 10 as a lower price option next year, this coming year. Right. So that suggests to me that, you know, like this year when they released 3 phones, they're going to release 3 phones this coming year as well. And that all 3 of them will have this design. So whether they call it the iPhone 10 or however they name it, you know, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. The question to me, though, becomes what's the rest of the lineup look like, right? Are they going to continue selling the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus as lower, you know, right? It seems like yes. The answer might be yes. But it's a little curious to me that they wouldn't sell the existing 10, you know, for $100 off or two, however they price this.
But you know what? They've done that in the past.
Done what?
They have released a new version and discontinued the previous version and not sold it. They did that with the iPad and the iPad 2. And I believe they did that with the iPad 3 and the iPad 4, right?
No, but but let's think only about the iPhone, because I think it doesn't really matter what they did with iPad. So the example that most people cite is the iPhone 5C, which is a one-off. They did it for 1 year. They never did it again. But that's not the flagship. I mean, this is kind of unique, right? I mean, as you know, Apple has always been the premium product. People have complained about that. I certainly have. And to address this, instead of releasing a cheaper phone, although, by the way, they do have an SE as well, which is a cheaper phone. They've kept their older products in the market. It's a different way of doing the same thing. I mean, it gives people options, right? If you were to go into an Apple store today to buy a new iPhone, you could, I know you can buy an iPhone 7, but you could probably buy a 6S as well, right? Don't they sell those still?
Yeah, let me see what they have in their store right now.
They must. They sell previous generation phones. So if they really do not sell the current iPhone 10, that would be a first in this era, all right, for flagships. And
yeah, they sell. Look at this: iPhone 10, iPhone 8, iPhone 7, iPhone 6S, and iPhone SE.
And SE, yeah, okay. So if they don't sell the current 10 when they switch to the next 10, they're going to have something to fill that gap, right? Meaning, if you look at the current lineup, let me think about this. Do they? Yeah, don't they? What? Maybe they don't. I don't know. Well, in other words, let's imagine it's September.
Okay.
They've announced the new iPhones. There are three of them, right? And what are the rumors there are what? Like the
6.1 inch, 6.5, right?
And
then whatever
4.7 or whatever. Yeah, whatever, 5 inch, yeah, whatever.
Whatever that next.
Right. So could they, because there will be three of them and that they will span some price range, the next one down could be the iPhone 8.
Or the iPhone 9, or if that's what they call it, right?
Well, no, I'm thinking they don't make any more new ones of those phones.
Oh, is that your theory?
Know? Yeah.
Huh.
In other words, they'll keep the iPhone 8 and 7S. No, there was no 7S. The 8 and 7 in market, just like they have them today.
And then they kill the 6.
Get rid of the 6S.
Yeah.
And those three phones will span enough of a price range that they kind of cover what they were trying to do before by keeping the previous flagship.
Because the iPhone 8 really makes no sense in this lineup, right?
Well,
if you still have the 7 and the, you know, for sale and the 6S for sale,
yeah,
what was the point of the iPhone 8? It was just to put all, it's the same specs as the 10 technically.
Well, that is the point, right? You want the old design. You want to have a button for Touch ID. You want to save a little bit of money.
You know what, I kind of would want the Touch. Well, you have the 10. Do you prefer the Touch ID over the face recognition?
Oh, by far.
By far.
Yeah. People who claim otherwise are delusional.
Yeah, I know people that are buying
it
just because
it's Touch ID. It's crazy. It's awful. By the way, let me be fair.
I know what you mean.
It's not awful.
Yeah.
It's better than any facial recognition thing I've ever used. Sure. But the problem is Touch ID is the best fingerprint reader I've ever used too, and it's way better. And so it's not awful, but it's slow and there's extra steps involved. I don't like it.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what direction this is headed. I'm starting to get concerned that they don't know what the next 2 years brings. And that's a very un-Apple-like process. You know, they released this phone with all the hype and it has this weird notch, but fine, whatever.
They should never have done the notch. Yeah. Notch was unnecessary. If the entire top of that thing was a thin, tiny bezel, not only would no one have complained, but it would have looked better.
Yeah.
It would have caused fewer problems for users and app developers. It would have just made sense.
I mean, face recognition was that important to them.
No, I don't. This would have accommodated the face recognition. I'm saying, even if you don't, I get it. You're moving away from Touch ID. Fine. I disagree with that, but that's not my point. Forget about that. You're still using facial recognition. Don't have a notch. just have that be the bezel. Like, maybe it's a little bit smaller because you're using more of it from side to side. I don't know. But the notch is just a, it's a mistake.
Yeah. And by the way, they're putting it in the iPad.
Are they?
Yeah. There's in the beta references for 11.3, the modern iPad is going to get Face ID. So does that mean that the freaking notch is going in the iPad?
I think that device is big enough that they shouldn't the have to do that. I hope not, because if they just do it artificially to make it consistent, I think we've hit the Edsel moment for Apple. Like, this is just a huge mistake.
You know what's amazing? They put Touch ID on the MacBook, on the MacBook Pro, right?
Yes, you're great.
Right? And it's phenomenal. It's great.
Yeah.
But the MacBook Pro is the one that they could have initially launched Face ID with, considering the PC market has gone to...
I know, it makes way more sense on a computer than it does on...
And wouldn't it be a great way to introduce it to, I guess, your tiny percentage of Mac users and get the kinks out, you know?
The other thing they need to do is get that technology on all MacBooks. Whether or not there's a touch strip or not, like that Touch ID thing is such an awesome idea. It was awesome when we had it on PCs like 20 years ago, but whatever. I mean, once you use that thing, you realize, like, this is great. I love having this.
So I had a very interesting weekend because I had to go buy a MacBook Pro for Jess. Mm-hmm. So she had an older MacBook Air, and it shit the bed and was done, right? Dead.
Yep.
And it was time to get a new one. And I said, you know what? Until we go next week, use my HP, the 360. I had to take it back. Like, I needed that laptop because I got separation anxiety from it because I absolutely love it. I was like, listen, let's just go get you a MacBook. So we went to Apple, and the philosophy of how they sell is fascinating to me because they don't take you. It's actually backwards. They don't take you to the most expensive thing that you would imagine they want to sell. They take you to the most aesthetically pleasing thing and then tell you how this will not work for you. So they show you, and it was so bizarre. And I was saying to myself, this is the worst sales practice ever. So they took us to show off the MacBooks, and they're absolutely beautiful, these things. If
the little ones,
they're actually beautiful, and they're thin, and they come in every color. Yeah, and Jess goes, I want this. She goes, this is it. It's beautiful. I go, it's 12 inch retina display, 10 hour battery life, whatever, 2 pounds. And the guy goes, well, what are you trying to do on this? And Jess has been doing some Lightroom. She's been doing some editing. Jess started an Etsy store where she makes these plates, these like custom plates, and it says whatever you want, like I'm pregnant or happy anniversary or whatever. And she started as like a hobby, and now it's picked up. She has like 20 orders a week. So she needed something with a little bit of horsepower to do some sort of editing. So he goes, no, this won't work for you.
It won't work. That's true. I mean, which is that true. Computer would be less powerful than a MacBook Air.
But remember, Jess is the consumer, right? She doesn't know anything about tech, and I'm not saying anything. So we go, and they show this beautiful thing. It comes in the rose gold. It comes in gold. It comes in the dark gray. It comes in all these things. So he goes, you actually need a MacBook Pro, and takes us over to the 15-inch giant behemoth of a computer. And he's like, this is the one for you. And she's like, does it come in gold? Immediately. He goes, no, only that one comes in the color. So he goes, so you wasted 35 minutes telling me about this beautiful piece of hardware. And then you tell me, no, but it's not for you. Here's a pickup truck.
Yeah.
So she ended up getting a 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Did she get the touch strip?
She got the touch strip. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I said, you know what? Might as well do it. She actually uses it for editing. It's so bizarre.
I believe I could be wrong. I'm not an Apple expert, but I think the version with a touch strip actually is superior from a expansion standpoint. It doesn't have like four Thunderbolt ports instead of just two. It's like
I have four Thunderbolt, but here's a problem.
Yeah.
Apple's so bad at adapting new tech. Like, it's not using the latest Intel chipset.
Yeah.
It's not. So the 13 inch is a dual core.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
A dual core.
They just revved it in the spring last year, right? So the quad core stuff happened later in the year. I think that, the 15 must be a quad core, though.
The 15, all the 15s are quad core. But here's the other thing. So when you go into Apple, they no longer supply you with an i7 13 inch. Before, you used to be able to, like, every time I went to Apple previously, I had options. Like, it wasn't just one. They only have two versions now, right? They have the 15-inch and the 13-inch. And the 13-inch in stock only comes in the i5 with the 256 RAM. Mm-hmm. That's it. You cannot get the i7. They don't keep it in stock. It's an online order, special order.
Yep.
And that's it. Yep. You don't have a choice for hard drive. You don't have a choice for processor. This is what you buy. They're really treating it like the iPad, essentially.
I tried to buy this thing refurbished, and it's hard to find the configuration I want. And when you finally do find it, it's like $1,699. It's like, guys, seriously, like, this isn't even a new computer.
Dude, she paid like $2,000 for this thing.
Oh yeah, no, I know. That's right. Yeah. Cause it's $300 more than.
Yeah. But it's crazy by the way, only 8 gigs of RAM. You cannot get 16 gigs.
Yeah, you have to go online to get 16.
No, you cannot get 16 gigs.
I think you can.
I'm looking at it right now. Configuration options are, you could get 512. 512 is the max for storage, and 8 gigs is the only.
Yeah, but if you configure it, I think you can go 16.
Sure. Let me see. Let's buy this.
I'm semi-positive because that's what I was looking for.
You know what? I thought so too, and I don't think you can. Let's go with the most expensive one. Let's see. i5, right?
Yeah.
So this comes i7. So these are i7s. Select. So in the i7, you can. The i5, you cannot.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, but anyway, I just know because I've been looking for this in refurbished. What I want is 16 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage.
Yeah.
If you buy it new, it's $2,000.
Yeah.
If you buy it used, it's like $1,699. It's like,
by the way, that AppleCare that they have is not bad at all now. Their policy has really changed with AppleCare. Essentially, you could run over this thing with a car and they'll replace it for you.
Yeah. Well, okay. But it's still $1,699 for a used computer.
Yeah, and it's like, expensive. And it's outdated.
I don't usually spend that much money.
And by the way, it's outdated.
Actually, I just closed the window. I didn't even see. Is the i7, so it's still a dual core?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Course.
Why wouldn't it
be? Yeah, why wouldn't it be? Right. Yeah, so, yeah. Great. Great. Great.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. Really interesting. Paul, yeah. I have a couple more things I want to ask you, but before we go on, I want to take a moment and talk about our phenomenal, phenomenal sponsor and friends of the show, RX Bar. So, I don't know if you know this, Paul. Have you noticed how thin I am? Look at my pecs. Look at this. Sure. I've been dieting like a lunatic, and I'm back to working out. And the problem, I've been doing a lot of the, pretty much what you're doing. Like, are you doing the primal diet?
No.
You're not. But you're not. I thought you were doing that at one point.
Well, I was doing like a keto diet.
A keto diet, yes. So
I would call it technically, call what I'm doing low. Yeah. It's a low carb diet.
So the thing is, I've been cutting out a lot of bread essentially. And but I need something to really, I need the energy in the morning because it's impossible. And I buy these by my store, by my job. Every day I buy one. And it really keeps me going because it's actually amazing. It's 3 eggs, 6 almonds, 4 cashews, 2 dates, and no BS. So there's no preservatives in that sense. It's all, you know, the way that they manufacture these with health in mind, essentially. You're buying something that's well done. And it's actually great. No artificial flavors, no preservatives, no fillers, none of that stuff. And it's great. It's a breakfast on the go. You could have it out in the office. You could throw it in your bag. You could eat wherever you want. And I walk around with these things, and it has 210 calories, this one. So you know exactly what you're getting. They have a great offer for us. 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/Andrew when you use the promo code Andrew at checkout. These are great. You can get them anywhere, but I highly recommend go to rxbar.com/Andrew and buy it. The cool thing about this is I got my whole office hooked on this because I get the cases, and I just bring them in there. So we don't have those, you know, granola bars that, you know, it's like 350 calories and it's covered in sugar and chocolate and all this stuff. Everybody's now eating these and everybody's on this health kick now in the office. And it's a perfect time in the new year. Try something new. And they're delicious, by the way. They come in all different flavors. There's 11 different flavors. I just literally pour this one apart because I was starving and it filled me up. So I hide these now in the office here because everybody will grab one when they leave. That's become the thing. So I did Matt Men and Rich grab one. Everybody's just eating these. It's awesome. rxbar.com/Andrew. Get 25% off your first order when you check out. So, yeah, this was my Mac fiasco, which was fascinating. I want to ask you about Andromeda.
Andromeda? All right. I could only speculate, Andrew, but please continue.
Go ahead.
What are you asking?
No, it's funny because somebody keeps telling me, ask Paul about Andromeda. Ask Paul about Andromeda.
I haven't personally heard anything new about Andromeda since late last fall. So, I mean, I know they're working on it. I know that it will be a Surface-branded device. There have been all kinds of rumors and sightings of patents that people think might be this device. It could have two screens. It could be like a little Surface Mini kind of a thing. It could be for note-taking. It could be for reading. It could be whatever. But, you know, my take on this stuff is like, guys, you know, like how many times do we have to fail at mobile before someone figures out like this thing is probably going to be pretty damn pointless. I mean, so.
But what is the software going to be? We know that it's going to be an ARM-based device, right?
Well, that's the stuff. We don't know anything.
Okay, we don't know. If I were to guess, right?
I think it's a reasonable guess given the way things are going. So Andromeda could be the first Surface branded Qualcomm Snapdragon 830. What's the name of the 835 device? Yeah, that makes sense. The problem is like the things that you would want this thing for: note taking, reading, and then just the general purpose stuff are already really well done on other device types. Like, I just don't quite see the point in it. And there's a lot of but, you know, well, what if you could plug it into a dock and it could turn into a full desktop computer? And what if you could do this? What if you could do this? You know, and
yeah.
I always kind of go back to the notion of the right tool for the job. You know, we seek this convergence for some reason, but there are devices that are just good for certain tasks. You're using a computer because it's really good for the things that you need it for. Use a phone for other things that device is really good for. You know, one device that does both sounds kind of interesting, like you're going to save some, I don't know, some weight as you walk around every day or something.
So, yeah.
But I mean, seriously, you know, your wife wanted that little MacBook. So honestly, like a Snapdragon version of that would probably be better if they could, you know, or I guess in Apple's case, it would be like an A-series processor version, whatever. The point is you want something that's like a pound and a half that gets 20 hours of battery life that performs well, whatever. But we're still talking about a laptop.
Is it a laptop? But is it a laptop?
Well, no, not to my understanding, not exactly. But
yeah, I mean, I
would never trust Microsoft with a mobile device at this point. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But you know what it is now? You know, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking at, you know, it's all sketches and guesswork at this point, right?
Yeah, right. No one really knows what, you know. It may not even happen, by the way. I mean, this has happened too. Microsoft starts to go to market with something and it's like, you know, actually this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Who would buy this? You know, again, we're back to this, like, right? Who would buy this and why?
So
I get like if it's like a reference device to show what potentially could happen, but
yeah, no, it has to have a point, right? So, I mean, obviously there's some collection of some couple of hundred Windows enthusiasts who will buy anything that Microsoft makes sight unseen. And once we get past that initial 10-second rush, what's the point, right? And I think that I can't say exactly because I don't know what the device is, but Microsoft seeks to create new form factors with its Surface lineup. Obviously, they have some ideas about what that might be. And I think it is that combination device, like I talked about, reading, note taking, et cetera. So who's the market for this? Knowledge workers, as we used to call them in the 1990s, students, you know, it's the same kind of mix of people who might want a Qualcomm based laptop or whatever. It's consumers and enterprise workers. And you would include education in that because it's the same kind of market. So,
yeah.
I just don't see the point. I
agree.
Look,
with
I'm
you.
Excited to try it if they make it. I want.
Listen,
to
I'm
see
excited
it.
For any kind of innovative technology that comes out. Anything that's different and kind of changes the way that we do things, I'm excited for. Don't know. You know, there's so much. It's a lot of hoopla for something that
nobody even knows what
nobody
it is.
Nobody even knows what it is.
We're just going to get excited about it because Microsoft's doing it. And I'm sorry, you know, but what, like, that's, you know, not particularly interesting.
If I were to be excited for this, I'm excited because it's using ARM. That's why. That's what I'm excited for, because this is something different, and I know that that's going to affect everything else that happens on the Windows side.
I'm way more interested in an ARM Surface laptop, you know? To me, that's interesting.
Before we run out of time, I really wanted to ask you, next version of Windows, what do we know? What is Redstone 4 now?
Yeah.
I get these messages, Paul. I'm just going through my messages now because for weeks we haven't done a show. Literally 2 weeks.
And, yeah, I can't even keep this stuff straight.
And
in
actually,
my head.
Somebody was right. He's like, you haven't really discussed Windows 10 in the last couple of shows that you've done with Paul.
Yeah.
Can we get an update with what's to be expected? The guy, he's a regular viewer. I'm just going through the email. He doesn't really follow like all the stuff that's being posted with every build. So any kind, right. He said, just like the overall.
What's the big bucket stuff? Yeah, I mean, the previous couple of releases have had the name creators in them. And so there have been a bunch of things around mixed reality and 3D and game recording and game broadcasting and things like that. And I think the thing that's nice about the current version, which doesn't have a funny name, at least not yet, is that it's basically just focused on productivity, like basic productivity. So there are going to be a ton of new features everywhere. I mean, especially in things like Microsoft Edge and Cortana, as you would expect. But they're adding some kind of bread and butter multitasking / productivity functionality to the OS for the first time in forever. And I think they need to do more of this kind of stuff. So the big one is something called Timeline. And Timeline is basically like, I don't know if we use these names anymore, but when you do like Alt Tab on a keyboard or on a Mac, you do like Command Tab and you switch between apps. On Windows, we can also, let's make sure I get this right. Yeah, on Windows, we can also do Windows Key + Tab, and that brings up basically like a multitasking app view that has thumbnails of all the open windows, but it also has access to other desktops. So Timeline is a feature that kind of builds on top of this. And what it does is it adds the ability to go back in time. So like right now on this computer, which is not running the next version, all I see are the apps that are running right now. But I can go back in time with the next version. You scroll down the list and it's like, here's what you were working on 2 hours ago. Here's what you were working on yesterday.
That's interesting.
And you can select that and have those apps come up with the same documents and be in the same location. It is interesting. And there's phone interaction to it as well. Now, obviously on a phone, you're not going to bring up your whole list of apps because you don't have those apps. But maybe Tuesday at 10 a.m. you were working on a Word document. You can go through Timeline on your phone or send it to your phone from your PC. And that Word document will come up in Word on your phone in the place you were working on it at the time. Siri, you are so useless.
I found something you were looking for.
I found something. Yeah, no, you didn't.
You found nothing, Siri.
And you never will. So,
no, I because
that's kind of the big one.
The evolution of Windows is it's.
Yes, it's a.
It made me a Windows user again.
It's a big focus for me, Andrew.
isn't it interesting? You can make some money talking about it too.
Yeah. That's kind of the big thing.
Yeah. So. What's the release date? It's spring, obviously, but.
Well, I mean, the version number is 1803, so they'll probably finalize it in March and it will hit the streets, so to speak, in April. And I don't know if we're looking at it. It looks like they're never going to have an all-out announcement like they used to do in the past and say, here's what we're doing and here's when it's coming out and, we'll see. Or here's what it's called, It's just codenamed Redstone 4, and I think they're just going to keep it that way.
Yeah, very cool. You have a meeting today?
Oh, yes, I do.
Of course you do. For all things Paul, go to therock.com. Tom, go check out his show. He does a show with Brad each and every day. If you are I know you have time for Brad, but not me. That's okay.
I did my work meeting last week in the car.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's all about you and your job now. go to Therot.com, all things Paul Therot. Also, guys, subscribe to the podcast. It's very important for you guys to do that. You can support us by going to patreon.com/whatthetech and funding us there. And that's about it for this week. You can follow me on Twitter @AndrewZarin. You can follow Paul @TheRot. We'll see you all next time. Take care.